The West Live.
The West Live.
With Jenna Clark.
Speaking of bizarre behaviour, what happened in the Richmond locker room has sent ripples across the AFL and across some vacuums of social media, with the CEO of the AFL, Gil McLachlan, calling a briefing with all 18 clubs. Joining me now is our very good friend, Adrian Barrett, not only a Seven sports star, but a legend of the game. During his time playing with the Eagles, who brought home the cup in 92, Barra, I hate the fact that I've got you on the show for the first time for this incident, but it's so nice to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here too. You're doing a fantastic job. I feel a bit like, I'm a bit apprehensive, I've got to say. I'm a bit nervous because I don't want to come across as an old school Neanderthal.
You're none of those things.
Or maybe a quirky, defending quirky men's behaviour.
No, I think what I wanted to talk to someone like you about, because you are a great man and you're also a legend of the game. So you have that Venn diagram of, can you explain this for me? I just do not understand. Firstly, the action, and secondly, is it commonplace? Thirdly, are we being hysterical about this?
It did get a little bit hysterical, I think, Jenna, when it was painted as being perhaps sexual or even racial.
Yeah.
Because it involved the boy Choi, the Sudanese player, mm-hmm. Ex-Sudanese player who plays for Richmond as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason that became part of the issue, which clearly wasn't what was happening. What I can tell you about the Tigers is they're an extremely close team.
Yeah.
And this is kind of an extension of flicking the towel in the showers, that sort of thing.
Okay.
But it's been taken too far. And I'm in no way saying that it's acceptable behaviour and that it should continue. In fact, on television like that, I think you've got to be totally circumspect, and if you're being broadcast nationally and there's families watching, you cannot be doing that sort of thing. And I come from that generation where your private parts were your private parts and they were never to be touched.
Yeah.
The boys nowadays, and I think it's not saying this is, it's your generation
yeah.
that has sort of taken it a bit further.
How unusual for our generation.
That's right. They push the envelope. And it comes out of a sense of trust. These guys have won two premierships together. They are taught to trust each other, you know, with their lives, basically. And they're put on a sort of a war footing. And I know that's a stupid analogy, and it's not like war, and it's not a battle, and they're not Anzacs and all that sort of stuff. But it's about, you know, putting your life in the hands of your teammates. And in that respect, they push the envelope of trust. And to give you an example, at Richmond, what they do is they have these two-hour, what they call trust sessions. And one of the two-hour sessions, it was the three H's. They had to come up with something, a hardship, a highlight, and a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to stand in front of all your teammates and talk about something deeply personal from your background, perhaps about your mother, your father, your upbringing, what might have happened to you as a young person,
mm-hmm.
as a hardship. Then you'd come up with a highlight, and then you'd come up with who your hero is. And your teammates could ask you questions. And it's all about building trust, and see if I can pass on to you these sort of things,
mm-hmm.
then we build a trust,
mm-hmm.
and we have this camaraderie that is unrivaled. And maybe this is an extension of that. I mean, I don't want to overthink it. They might have been just being stupid boys as well, but I think that's where it comes from. It comes from a place of, okay, we're so comfortable with each other, we can do anything. Even though when we look at it, we go, wow. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
And please don't do that when my son's watching. So I don't want him to copy it down at junior footy.
That's the thing. I think that, and I think whether they like it or not, they're probably in their little bubble. You know, they just came off a win and they're really excited. But whether they like it or not, AFL stars are heroes and they are icons to so many young men and women. So I guess you've got young kids and you're involved in junior footy. Is this something that they, do you think, could potentially copy? And is it?
Well, in fact, it has been copied because I know, this is bizarre, one of the private schools in Perth, I won't name them, actually I know sent a letter to all their parents and said, could you please stop your sons, it was an all-boys school, from flicking other boys in the groin.
Oh, wow.
Because it became a thing. You know, like, and it just sounds, when I say it sounds terrible, but obviously that's what they were doing, and you wince, and then you go after the other guy, and you try to get him back somehow, and all that sort of stuff, and it was boys being boys, but the school had to go to the stage of actually sending a letter out asking
them,
please don't let your sons do this, and please counsel them, this is not acceptable behaviour. And I mean, the other big point is it is a workplace, isn't it? And I suppose now with, you know, all the work place legislation, you've got to be super careful as to what can happen. It's an unusual workplace, but it's and I think you'll find that the AFL's come out yesterday, didn't they? It's perfect timing to talk about this, that they want to quash it, and they might bring out some rules now as to what could happen, what penalties could be put in place as to if you're caught doing this sort of behaviour, which would only be on camera. And it's like you and I, we always think the microphone's open, don't we? We never swear around a microphone.
Oh,
that's our rule. Because we think, what if it's open, it goes to air? Yeah. Or you think the camera's always on.
Yeah, I guess there's the, always that upper echelon of consciousness of like, I need to conduct myself in a certain way. But I guess like there's only a small cohort of the population that are ever going to be elite athletes. So we can't really understand it. So
yeah, well, that's the other thing. It's a crossover from normal people's lives into elite sport. And that's where that journalist, it was funny to watch an old school journalist. You know,
Hugh Remington, an old school political journalist. Yeah.
Just being immersed in a footy world and he's going, what's going on here? You know,
it's, and then Damien Hardwick just going, first of all, why are you here? Yeah,
that's right. And why was he there?
Yeah.
I always throw back to when Jeff Parry had to interview, Ross Lyon when he took over from Mark Harvey.
Oh.
And everyone was going for Ross Lyon about stabbing Mark Harvey in the back. And it was interesting for me as a sports person because that always happens in sport that coaches are replaced. But then in came Jeff from a different perspective and he was going, this is betrayal. You've stabbed him in the back and all this sort of stuff. And we were going, whoa, what's happening here?
It's unlike Parry to go from 0 to 100 real quick.
But that would be the normal reaction of normal people.
And
but I should give you an example as to how the workplaces are a bit different. Well, for example, in sport, this would never happen in our workplace, would it? You wouldn't shower in the nude with your colleagues.
No.
Okay, so that does happen in sport.
Yeah.
Another example is they have painkillers that you just, you know, if you need to finish the match and you're injured, you can ask to have an injection to kill the pain so you can complete the game to push your body beyond where it should go in a health sense. Oof. So that would never happen in the workplace, anywhere else. And then there's these truth sessions where the whole team sits around. This is no bull. The whole team sits around and they pick you apart. They go, right, this is what you need to start doing. There's three categories. You've got to start doing this. You've got to stop doing this. And you've got to keep doing this. Okay, so they give you some positives at the end, but they give you the start doing this. And I remember one famous footballer got told to smile more. You need to smile more, mate. You don't smile enough around the club.
Whoa.
You need to interact with the sponsors more and stop doing things that – stop trying to get the easy handball and get the glory. Do the hard work. And that sort of stuff would never happen in a workplace. In our workplace, we wouldn't sit around and critique each other. Your boss might.
Yeah.
But this can happen. This can be said by young players. Anybody can say this to any teammate in these truth sessions. And they're brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get through. I need counselling afterwards when I hear what – my closest friends, my dearest comrades think about me.
Yeah.
It'd be like me, you critiquing me and saying, Barrett, I saw you leave work early 3 times this week. You're lazy. You need to work on that.
And you don't smile enough.
I do smile a bit. And Basil smiles. He doesn't smile. There must be someone. Or something like, you take all the glory. You know, I do all the work. Or so-and-so does all the work, but you always seem to be the guy who gets all the headlines. You know, that would be something that we could say in our workplace, but you would never say that.
Yeah.
You would never say that directly to someone's face.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in their workplace. So it's a different world and we do have to make a little bit of an allowance for that.
Thank you for explaining that for me. I very much appreciate it because that really opens my mind to that's if someone's stripped back so much and they're in such a place of trust, of course they're going to let their guard down and not realise that cameras are on them. Like, I think we do have to cut them a bit of slack. They are under the microscope 24/7.
Young men, silly young men too, generally.
Well, there's silly young women out there as well.
And mostly they're not going to help launch the space shuttle, you know what I mean? so they're not overthinking it.
They may not be able to spell fridge, but they can definitely lift one. And that's all that matters.
I like that. I'm going to use that. Thank you.
But just to wrap up quickly, what did you make of last night's game?
Yeah, Fremantle. Are you a Fremantle fan?
Team WA, so I'm on both bandwagons. I'm kind of like Basil in the sense that I support both teams.
I see, pretending. Only joking.
But I have loved watching Justin Longmuir that young team and turn them into little confident superstars.
I'd love to hear you talk to him, actually, because then it would be a different perspective. I'm sick of hearing all the normal stuff that we ask them about, stats and kicking goals and all that sort of stuff. Justin Longmuir is a breath of fresh air down there. He's really creating something great. They've got some great young players. And led by Nat Fyfe, who would be another great one for your show, I reckon he is the best speaker I've ever seen from a football perspective. Mm. He is the greatest. Mm. I've seen them all, Pavlich, Hodge, Brereton, Malthouse, whoever you want.
Mm.
Fyfe is at the top of the tree.
Mm.
Intellectually, he's a genuine intellect, as opposed to the rest of us who pretend to be intellectual.
Definitely.
Not you. I'm talking about me. Ex-players. And he also the way he portrays things is just magnificent. So the Dockers are going well, and the Eagles are premiership favourites. So we're going pretty well over here.
I love, and I know I could talk about this forever, but I love the way that you could really tell that Fyfe had a really great relationship with Ross Lyon. But I'm going to really love to see the captain develop that relationship with Longmuir, and just see, because I feel that he is just a superstar. I think he supersedes football, like you say. I think he's a genuine intellect. And I actually can't wait to see what he does post his playing career.
Exactly.
He's so switched on. He knows exactly what's up with that.
I'm pretty sure he won't settle for being a TV presenter.
I agree. I think he's definitely got
higher aspirations. Reading 15 seconds on the auto cue ain't going to do it for him, I reckon. So.
Doing pirate radio, I don't think it's also on his cards. But I think he's surrounded himself with some really good people, and I think he's a really good role model for any young bloke or female that decides to head into
And a country
AFL.
Boy too, don't forget.
Lake Grace.
They're great people, country people.
They really are.
They are the best. There's no doubt in footy we play country versus city.
Yeah.
And I was from Canberra, so I was sort of in the middle.
That's the country?
Yeah, and so I played with the country boys, and that's so much better.
So, I definitely agree, but I'm very biased. Barra, thank you so very much for your time. I thoroughly appreciate that. And can you please come back and visit us again soon on a brighter note?
I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. We'll see you on 7 News tonight reading that auto cue.